You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm honored to have Rick Simpson on the show. Many have heard of the video, Run from the Cure, which is about creating your own cure for cancer and disease using the indica strains of the marijuana plant. Rick is a retired power engineer who worked for 25 years in the medical system in Canada. After suffering a severe head injury in 1997, he took all the medications that the doctors prescribed, but their side effects did nothing but harm. So in desperation, he turned to the use of cannabis extracts, which he produced himself, and quickly found that he had discovered the greatest natural medicine on earth. After learning the truth about the amazing healing abilities of these extracts, he then went on to everyone in authority to have its use recognized once more, but found that in reality, those who control our lives wanted to keep the truth hidden from public view. Having nowhere else to turn, he then made this knowledge public, and since that time, countless individuals worldwide have used his information to cure or control illnesses for which our current medical systems have no solution. Rick was giving the oil away for free since he was growing plants in his own backyard while he was still in Canada, until 2009 when the Royal Canadian Mounted Police did the final raid at his home. Rick was always talking about THC oil and not CBD oil. The oil that he was giving away for free had a very high percentage of THC, and it also contained low levels of CBD and other cannabinoids. Rick put up the site phoenixtears.ca back in 2004, and he made the information people need to heal themselves free for all to use at no cost. He did not even try to patent the oil or the method he used to produce the oil because he felt that this knowledge is everyone should have so they could learn how they can deal with their medical problems themselves in a sensible, harmless manner. Many are attempting to capitalize on Rick's research by selling oils under his name. Rick does not sell the oil. He empowers people to make it themselves, and in his book, Nature's Answer for Cancer, and The Rick Simpson Story, which are available on the only authorized website which he manages, www.phoenixtears.ca. His motto, I want people to know how to heal themselves. So let's welcome Rick to the show now. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Not doing too bad, Lance, and I'm very happy to be with you, brother.
Oh, I'm delighted that I could get you on the show. It's such an honor to have you here. You know, you really are a pioneer in this field, which has literally taken off the last few years with a bang since you first began in 2004. Would you like to share a little bit on how you rediscovered nature's healing medicine and what happened during your attempts to bring this to the light of day?
Well, I made the first extracts in 1999, but at the time, you know, the guy was in very bad shape. I was taking pharmaceuticals and, you know, because I worked for the medical system for 25 years, I believed in it. But I was getting, you know, the effect of these chemicals were making me suicidal. So I tried smoking cannabis, and I tried to get a prescription because they have the marijuana access program in Canada, you know, to people that need it for medicinal purposes, and I certainly needed it. But I did find that smoking cannabis gave me more relief than any of the pharmaceuticals. They were just making me worse. But in 1999, I was getting quite desperate, so I went out and I produced some of the extract from this plant. You know, at the time, I knew nothing about this plant medicinally. I knew that smoking good indica strains was sedative and could help you sleep. And I knew that if you made an extract from indica strains, it would have to be very sedative. But you see, when I asked the doctors for a prescription, they all told me, you know, that it's still under study and it's bad for the lungs and all of this nonsense. And of course, I didn't know any better. And but you know, so I when I made the extract, I was very, you know, I was afraid to take it because I didn't know what other effects it would have.
Right.
But finally, I'm ashamed to say it now, but it was almost 3 years later, in late 2001, when the medical system finally cut me loose. They just said, there's nothing more we can do for you, and so you're on your own. So having nowhere to turn, I went home and I started taking these extracts. And my God, what happened was just amazing. You know, I mean, the effects of the chemicals and all of these pills they had given me, by late 2001, I mean, I could hardly even remember my own name. That's the effect that these medications had. But in no time, when I got on the oil, like I started getting a good night's sleep. My thinking abilities improved dramatically. It controlled my blood pressure, which had been a major problem because this racket, this noise in my head 24 hours a day, it takes over your life and literally, you know, well, it can drive you crazy. Most people that have what I have, they commit suicide.
Wow.
But it controlled my blood pressure that was related to the injury. And things like, I mean, I started losing weight. The oil brought me back to a healthy weight for my for my height. The arthritis in my knees disappeared. And then in late 2002, I went back to my doctor to see about these three areas I'd had since the 1990s. Like, these were open lesions that wouldn't heal.
Wow.
So I had one in my left cheek and one in my chest and one on the right side of my nose, very close to my eye. And I had pretty well convinced myself that they were skin cancer. But when the doctor looked at them, he examined the areas, but it was the one close to my eye that they were most concerned about. So that was the one they said, we'll do that one first, and then we'll do the other two areas at a later date. So when they did the operation, of course, they sent a pathology report away, you know, to have it analyzed.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a week after the operation that I was sitting at home with a magnified mirror examining where they had operated. And, of course, it was, you know, a little bit of infection, which is quite common in hospitals these days.
Right.
But it was at that very moment that a study I had heard back in the 1970s, our local radio station in Amherst, one day when I was leaving work about 1975, they come on with this, the announcer said that they had a report just in from the United States, which had the findings that THC and cannabinoids, like THC, had cancer-killing abilities. You know, so, but the way it was presented, they made a joke out of it. You know, anything related to marijuana, they, you know, I hate that word marijuana. We should be calling it what it is, you know, the cannabis hemp plant.
Uh-huh.
But they always try to make a joke out of this. And, but it stuck in my mind. So anyway, I thought, you know, because I'd been taking these extracts for a year at that, about that point, and I thought, you know, if there was any truth in this, well, why did I still have cancer? You know, so I mean, I hate to say it, but I almost didn't do it because at the time I had trust in my government. And, you know, they had always told us that they're looking for a cure for cancer. And I couldn't imagine that the medical system would actually hold a cure back.
Right.
It was unthinkable to me.
Right.
But so anyway, I didn't have anything to lose, and I had the oil right there. So I went down and I put the oil on the cancer on my cheek and the one on my chest. And I just put a little drop of oil right on the area, and then I covered it with a bandage. I left it for 4 days. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't think anything was really happening.
Uh-huh.
But when I took the bandages off 4 days later, both of these areas had completely healed. There was just pink skin.
Wow.
So I started telling people that, you know, I thought that I'd cured my cancer with these extracts. And, of course, everyone just laughed at me. You know, yeah, right, Rick, marijuana cures cancer. They all thought I was crazy. But about 7 weeks after the operation had been performed on the cancer close to my eye, it came roaring right back. And so I did the same thing with it that I did with the other two areas. I put the oil on it, put a bandage on, left it for 4 days. When I took the bandage off, completely healed. That's well over 13 years ago now, and
wow,
I've never had to retreat these areas.
Amazing.
So I went down to my doctor's office, you know, kind of excited about this, and I asked for a copy of my pathology report, and it stated right there that they had removed basal cell carcinoma, you know,
wow,
skin cancer. So I told his secretary, well, who happened to be his wife, I told her I'd like to come back and have a talk with the doctor in the evening about something I'd been working on. And she said, well, what's this about? And I said, well, that area that they had operated on, I said, the cancer came right back. And I said, and that area and the other two areas I cured with hemp oil. And the minute I said hemp oil, the woman went rigid. She started yelling at me. You know, I was standing in my doctor's waiting room with about five or six other patients, and this woman was literally screaming at me. You know, the doctor will not go there. The doctor will not prescribe this. And so I went out and I got in my vehicle. And on the way home, I got thinking, you know, if I was a small-town doctor and one of my patients had cured their cancer with something natural, I think I'd want to know about it.
Oh, yeah.
So something didn't smell right about all this. So After that, I started passing the oil out to, you know, to other people with skin conditions. And then I started giving it to people for, you know, serious things like internal, you know, cancers, even stage 4 cancer. I went to all the right people in Canada, every political party. I went to two federal ministers of health, Dr. David Suzuki, who has the show The Nature of Things. I went to the Canadian Cancer Society. We even took this to the United Nations. Nobody would do a thing. You know, so the simple truth is here, I mean, this is the most medicinal, I think, and useful plant on Earth. And, you know, due to the big money interests, they're the ones that had this all outlawed and villainized.
Yeah.
You know, cannabis never harmed anyone, and everything they've ever told us about this is nothing more than a pack of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just to protect their financial interests. That's all it's about. And when you look at the drug industry and so many other aspects of life that they can, or, you know, of our lives that they control, it's just a horror story what they're doing to us.
Absolutely.
You know, the medical system today, you know, if you got cancer, well, we're going to give you chemotherapy and radiation. You know, and instantly, both of these treatments kill your immune system.
Yep.
You know, your hair falls out, and my God, I mean, how dare they call this medicine?
Yep.
And that goes for all the rest of this pharmaceutical trash, too. And see, what they're so afraid of, a lot of people that came to me were taking 24, 30 pills a day.
Wow.
You know, they just big blister packs, right, full of pills. And I used to tell people, you know, you start taking this oil, you have to get off the pharmaceuticals, because these extracts recognize the pharmaceuticals as being the toxins they really are.
Yes,
and they,
yes.
You know, they don't want them in your body. So I had a lot of patients come back after 1 month who had been taking 24 to 30 pills. At the end of 1 month, the only thing they were using was the extracts, because these extracts took the place of all these medications. You know,
wow.
So this is what the pharmaceutical industry is so afraid of. You know, when this medicine comes out in a big way, and it will, it's coming out now, they're out of business. Because in reality, you know, it states right in the human Bible that we as humans have the right to use these plants, and especially to heal ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, no one has the right to put these laws in place, and no one has the right to enforce them. It's our natural right as humans, you know, to grow these plants and use them in every conceivable way, but especially for medicine.
Yeah.
And it is truly, if you take, you know, what I used to do, you see, I was treating a lot of people, and I, you know, I had many different heavy strains of indica, very sedative indicas, but I found that the healing powers from one strain to another would vary.
Oh.
You know, they all seem to be effective for cancer, but the problem was, like, some of them were better for pain relief, others for lowering ocular pressure for glaucoma, you know, patients, or lowering blood sugar for diabetes, that type of thing. So what I started doing, I started mixing, like, usually about a half a dozen of these different extracts together.
Ah.
And when I passed these out, they had like a blanket effect. Like, people would come to me with arthritis, you know, chronic pain and cancer, eye problems, all kinds of things wrong with them besides the cancer. And usually after the 3 month treatment, you know, so you take 60 grams over 3 months. After the 3 month treatment, in most cases, it cured everything. So
wow.
This is literally a cure all.
Well, so Rick, tell me, I was led to believe that the indica strains were preferable, but what you're saying is that a mix of indica and sativa.
I was growing all indicas.
Oh, you are all indicas? Because
yes, all different strains of indica. I stayed away from sativa. They're too energizing.
Ah, Okay, so, and then the indica helps you to relax and to sleep and to heal.
Oh, yes. I mean, the indicas, if you have a, you know, a good extract from a strong indica, it'll put an elephant to sleep. I mean, there's nothing better than this for getting a good night's sleep. And it's all harmless. There's no addiction. There's no danger.
Right.
You know, and another amazing aspect I found with the use of this, you know, there were so many people coming to me with stage four cancers, and they'd been on hydromorphine for months. I mean, these people were badly addicted.
Uh-huh.
And we would put them on these extracts, and usually within a week and a half to 2 weeks, they could go off of the pharmaceuticals, you know, the opiates altogether, and they suffered very few withdrawal symptoms. So this is a way that we can bring this drug-addicted world back.
Yeah.
You know, if people would take these extracts and get rid of these addictive substances they're using, then, you know, we can bring these people back and make them useful citizens once more.
Yeah.
It's really
wonderful.
Endless what we can do with this plant.
Right, right. Well, you know, people are so closed-minded about this subject, and yet in my research, I discovered that George Washington routinely smoked marijuana to alleviate the pain from his ailing teeth, and his mm-hmm. diary recounts his efforts to cultivate better and enhance the crops of marijuana. And Jefferson grew cannabis on his plantation and smuggled Chinese hemp seeds to America. So
right.
Our founding fathers were using it.
Yes. I think that's the reason the founding fathers wrote such sensible documents like the Declaration of Independence
exactly.
and the Constitution, because if you read these documents, they're wonderful documents. And you can tell that these people were very deep thinkers.
Yes.
But even President Kennedy was talking about legalizing cannabis because he used it for his back pain.
Right, right.
You know, the whole thing goes back to Nixon. You know, and his, you know, see, when Nixon went into power, he went to, well, not just Nixon. I mean, they had the Reefer Madness nonsense and Harry Anslinger and all that tribe back in the 1930s. But when Nixon went into power, he wanted to get to the bottom of this marijuana question. So he formed the Schaefer Commission to study this. And when the Schaefer Commission came back and told them to legalize this plant, and they didn't even consider it to be a narcotic, Nixon took the same report that he had ordered and threw it in the trash can.
Mm.
And a short time later, what does he do? He starts the war on drugs. And what drug did he concentrate on for the most part? Cannabis.
Right.
You know, and then they impeach Nixon, and he's replaced by another flunky called Ford.
Right.
And when the Medical School of Virginia study come up with that study was done to prove that that cannabis caused cancer. And what
it
proved that cannabinoids like THC can kill cancer cells.
Right.
So immediately they shut the study down. They went to all the universities in the U.S. They confiscated as much research on this subject as they could, and they put it all back in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, the pharmaceutical industry, I think they've known how to cure cancer for, I would say, at least 150 years.
I agree with you. They may have even created the cancer in the first place.
They've had a lot to do with it, that's for sure, brother.
Yep.
But, I mean, back in the 1800s, E.I. Lilly, Park Davis, Squibb, all of those big companies, they were all producing cannabis-based medicines. You know, cannabis was an ingredient in so many medications during that era. And, I mean, it was common practice for these drug companies to produce, you know, the essential oils from many different medicinal plants and sell them to the public, you know, as medicines.
Right,
well,
right.
Well, since cannabis had this wonderful history of its healing abilities, you know, I'm sure that they would have made the essential oil from it. And the minute they did that, they would have the same extract that I'm healing everyone with.
Right.
So I think they just hit it because in those days it was perfectly legal for anyone to grow cannabis. And if the farmers and people growing it, if they found out that they had the greatest medication in the world right in their own backyard, the drug industry would be out of business.
Well, isn't
it
funny?
And then along come Rockefeller in the early 1900s when him and his rich friends got together and started the medical foundations, which took over the medical schools. And then they turned around and they pushed the allopathic approach to healing, you know, medicine from poison and chemicals.
Right.
Well, that's the reason we have the rotten system we have today. And if people are interested, if you go on the Internet, there's a gentleman named James Corbett. He's another Canadian. And he does series. Pardon me?
I like him. He's been on my show.
Oh, really? He's amazing.
Isn't he good?
But,
yeah.
He does that whole series on many different topics. But If you go to episode 286 of the Corbett Report, it's called Rockefeller Medicine. If you sit down and you listen to that report, then you'll know why we have this horrible medical system we have today, and you'll know why it just simply doesn't work.
Well, and not only that, but now they're using radiation to sterilize women because that is involving birth control, and they're also destroying the mammary glands while they're at it, because I have a close friend just this month who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and she couldn't take the radiation, but she said they put three dots on each of her breasts, and they destroyed the mammary glands. So, and there are miraculous substances in mother's milk, which you cannot get with formula, and guess what's in formula? Fluoride.
Well, mother's milk is full of natural cannabinoids. That's the reason breastfed babies are so much healthier than those who are not. I mean, it's a proven fact. Well, back in the 1980s, a lady named Melanie Dreher, she went out to find where the healthiest babies on Earth were born. And what she found, that the healthiest babies on Earth are born to mothers in Jamaica who use cannabis a great deal.
Ah.
You know, but we're told about all this, you know, cannabis should be kept away from our children because it presents a danger. This is nonsense, you know. The doctors go out and fill them full of Ritalin and antidepressants and anything they can think of, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like, I mean, if the mother's use of cannabis does not harm the baby in the developmental stages in the womb, and in fact, these babies have proven to be the healthiest babies on the planet, why would cannabis present a danger to a child, you know, or anyone of any age? There's no danger here.
Well, you know, no. The ironic thing is the governments of the world, including ours, are shielding the opium trade countries, and President Bush was known for importing cocaine on his oil decks south of California towards Mexico. And they run drugs to get black funds for various projects that they're doing underneath the radar. So this has been going on for decades and decades, and they have no qualms about importing heroin and crack and meth, yeah, and all of those drugs to get the kids addicted, because the whole point of the matter is to destroy America.
That's right. I mean, the biggest drug dealers on the planet are the governments themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, like, you know, I've said this so many times. I mean, look at all those plane loads of cocaine they flew in from Central and South America, the CIA, right into Arkansas.
Yep.
You know, and why do we have troops up there in Afghanistan guarding,
yep,
poppy fields?
Exactly.
I mean, when the Taliban was in charge there, they tore up the poppies and they planted cannabis. When,
yep,
our brave military invaded, out come the cannabis, and in went the poppy seeds again.
Uh-huh.
And Afghanistan supplies, I think, something a little over 80% of the world's heroin supply.
Wow.
But these same governments that are involved in this, they'll put us in jail for growing cannabis. You know, what a wonderful world we live in.
Well, no, it isn't. And we need to,
yes,
we need to take back control at the personal level, because the government isn't going to help us. They're just giving us the reverse information, which is killing us. Any kind of a medical profession that operates on the basis of allopathic medicine, where you kill the disease, is already incorrect, because you're working against the body itself. So, and it's just a horror what women have to go through to be scared out of their wits. You know, look at that big breast cancer scare with Angelina Jolie. Well, it turns out she had a monetary interest in the breast income from some of the companies. So that was all just a hoax to get women to be terrified of their breasts and, mm-hmm, to chop them off in advance of even possibly getting cancer. So that's insane.
Oh, it's total insanity. I mean, Angelina Jolie could get brain cancer, so perhaps she should have her head cut off.
Right.
You know, these people are truly insane, but this is the problem. The people don't seem to realize that our governments are not running the show.
Right.
It's the rich elite, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Warburgs, those big banking families, especially the Rothschilds,
yep,
and the Rockefellers.
Yep.
I mean, they're the ones that are actually controlling our governments. They took over the political parties years ago.
Yep.
And it doesn't make any difference who gets elected. because they're always representing the interests of the big money. They don't care about the public.
Right.
And our governments control the legal system, the medical system. They control practically everything in our lives. The news media is all owned by the mega rich. They're all working in collusion together to keep us under control so they can gain more wealth and power. You know, this whole thing is they're a bunch of psychopaths is what they really are.
I agree.
Anybody that supports this system, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're guilty of complicity in genocide. Because, you know, like doctors today, you know, what happened to the Hippocratic Oath?
Yes.
You know, that the Hippocratic Oath is the basis of medicine. And if you read the real Hippocratic Oath, it says, first, do no harm.
Yep.
And it also states that as a physician, I shall not administer poison.
Yes.
So none of these doctors, they had this new oath out today, but it's not the Hippocratic Oath at all, and it exonerates doctors from passing out the poisons.
Yep.
You know, the whole medical system is a fraud, and it's such a great shame, you know, because, you know, we've been programmed to believe our doctors, you know, and to believe in the system and our governments. But the whole, in reality, the whole damn thing is a sham. And, I mean, I don't want to see violence over this, but I think if we you know, all got together and with one voice just told our governments we've had enough of their nonsense, and, I mean, everybody, if you have a sick or dying loved one, for God's sakes, go out, grow the cannabis you need and produce these medications because there's nothing to making them. I mean, I could do it blindfolded, for God's sakes. It's so simple. There's no rocket science. You know,
well, you know, my friend that I told you about that has stage 4 cancer, she couldn't take the chemotherapy or the radiation, so she found your cure. That's why you're on the show today, because she told me about it. And she said that her tumors were shrinking, and she's starting to go into remission. It's taking time, but she's like sprung back to life. So I know somebody personally that is recovering using your the Rick Simpson cure.
Yeah, that's all. That all has to do with Jack Herer, the last leader of the cannabis movement. Jack and I were friends, and you know, I got Jack on the oil himself. And Jack, he started calling it the Rick Simpson oil. And I got mad about it because when Jack said it, I said, "Why are you connecting my name to this, Jack?" I said, "It's hemp oil."
Right.
And
right.
He said, "Well, aren't you Rick Simpson?" I couldn't argue with Jack Herer. I love the man. But since Jack's death, it was, it was his dying wish, I guess, that I be, you know, that the torch be passed to me. So more or less, I've become the leader of the movement since Jack died in 2010. But one of the question I have is the leader of what? You know, there are a lot of people out there, grassroots people, who want to see, you know, the laws repealed worldwide the same as I do. This is not about legalization. Repeal these absurd laws. They're all based in corruption anyway. Throw them in a trash can, you know.
Yep.
But there's so many organizations that pretend that they're out there working to legalize cannabis like normal, you know. And even Cheech and Chong, I heard them on an interview here recently, and they're all going on about, oh yes, regulate and taxation.
Oh,
that's not the answer to our problems. The answer to our problems is we have to take the wealth and power away from these rich individuals that are ruling our earth.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, family alone is supposed to be worth something over $500 trillion. They have enough money to feed, house, and clothe every human being on Earth. You know, I mean, and if you look back in the history, for the last 200 years, in so many cases, these people, they started the wars.
Yes,
and then they fund both sides.
Yep.
And then no matter what, they make big, vast profits off our suffering. So we grab our little guns and we go invade another country and kill a bunch of people so they can get richer.
Yes.
You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Yep, there you got it. And then you got all the false flags. And Ole Domegaard was on my show not long ago, and he spent 30 years researching the deaths of Kennedy and the Denmark president and movie stars and musicians, and he says they're all set up and they're all false flags. They're all done by the internal operations that are set up to do these things. So look at
the one that really stuck out to me was 9/11. I mean anybody that believes what was told on the news, I mean, you have to be stupid. You know, these big buildings don't just come tumbling down like that. And then that building number 7 that, you know, simply fell down, what, 8 or 9 hours later? I mean,
this
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. And there's so many. And then the day before, didn't I can't remember his name at the moment, but there was an announcement about so many trillions of dollars missing from the Pentagon, and apparently the people who were meeting at the Pentagon were all killed in that bomb or whatever it was that went through there, and there had been construction going on there for weeks. So that was all planned out, and all of these things put together, you know, they operate at multiple levels. There's not just one reason why these things happen, and they can also be testing space-based weapons on, you know, the Twin Towers and Building 7 to make sure that they work properly, and they fell in their own footprint. How is that possible? They were dustified. So, you know...
There's not a thing about 9/11 that makes any sense at all, and thousands of scientists now have come out, you know, and told the public openly that this whole thing is a fraud. And
right.
I think the Israelis, I think there's many outfits that are involved in this right up to their damn necks.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the trouble is everybody's programmed to believe what they see in the newspaper or what they read, you know, or what they see on TV.
Well, the Rockefellers own all the networks.
Yeah. I mean, they just feed us what they want us to know. And it's shows like this, that's where the truth actually comes out. You don't get any truth off the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, I tell people, for God's sake, shut off your television. Start watching some documentaries and listening to shows like this.
Yeah,
you know, and then you'll gain some real knowledge about what's going on here. And, you know, and I simply believe that, you know, we do all have the right to heal ourselves naturally, if that's what we choose to do. And I don't think that the cannabis industry has to be regulated in any way other than, you know, like if you're going to start a company and produce extracts and things like that on a grand scale to sell to the public, yes, that has to be regulated. But if you or I want to go out in our backyards and grow a dozen plants or 100 plants, I mean, who cares?
Right.
You know, they go on about this black market. Well, who created the black market?
Could it
have been our governments when they did this? When they put these stupid laws and regulations in place, they're the ones that created the black market.
They want to keep all the money.
We grew hemp for thousands of years. We used it in countless ways.
Yeah.
You know, it was the greatest benefit to mankind that you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing, it's a farm crop. And if we grew it as such, you could go out and buy a kilo of the best cannabis bud for $10.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the simple truth. So the hell with this black market nonsense. You know, I it's like I said, people have to realize, I mean, the rich elite are killing this planet. You know, you look at the Gulf oil spill, you look at Fukushima, Chernobyl, all these horrible events. And, you know, and this is affecting, you know, the health and well-being of every living creature on this earth. They're literally killing the damn planet. You know, it's like I said, in their quest for money and power, it seems they just don't care. You know, there's sense of, you know, if they would simply use the cannabis plant the way it should be, it's basically the answer to most of the problems we currently face. You know, we can put an end to starvation. We can supply all the energy we would ever need just with the cannabis plant alone. You know, the medicines it makes, over 50,000 different things can be created from practically everything we use in our day-to-day lives can be made from durable, long-lasting hemp.
Yeah.
And anything that you can make from fossil fuels, like plastics, you can do the same with cannabis, you know, in an earth-friendly way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so insane. Like, you know, they always go on about, you know, CO2 levels are going up, you know. Well, this is because we're burning all these fossil fuels that contain all this CO2 that's been trapped in the earth for God knows how long. But when you grow cannabis, it's a closed circle. I mean, you grow the plants, they take in CO2 while they're growing, they give off fresh air. At the end of the cycle, after you've taken the seeds, the medicine, or whatever else from it, then you can take, they say 1 acre of hemp can produce as much as 1,800 gallons of ethanol per acre. Now, an acre is only a small piece of land. So if I had an acre of hemp and you did, we could be energy independent. We'd have enough fuel to heat our homes, run our cars, and probably have a few hundred gallons left over to sell. But you see, they don't want us to be like that. They want us under their control and scare everybody, you know, there's an energy crisis or a food shortage. You know, this is just nonsense. And they want to keep the public living in fear, and they've done a pretty damn good job of it.
Yep. You know, well, Monsanto has pretty much dominated the corn seed, and most corn is now genetically modified, and so that's one of the interacting puzzle pieces of this energy thing, I couldn't believe that they were going to grow corn for ethanol. I thought, what in the hell are they doing? Well, they're turning all of our produce into genetically modified produce, which affects the internal organs of the body. And it's interesting that Monsanto is working on various genetically modified strains of marijuana. And you got to know that there's some big plan behind it, and the tobacco companies aren't going to lose out on those profits. They're greedy as hell, and they may be setting themselves up to come in and take over with Monsanto and just flood the market and put everybody else that's trying to do the right thing and work on their little tiny plots of land, just wipe them off the face of the earth.
Well, that's what they're out to do. I mean, Monsanto, as far as I'm concerned, the American people should surround their buildings and burn them down.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't need genetic modification. We never did. And Mr. Bill Gates, that same guy with the computers who's been pushing all the vaccinations, he deserves a medal too. And
right.
As I understand it, Mr. Gates has a lot of money tied up in Monsanto himself.
Of course.
You know, this rich elite, they truly are insane. You know, and I would never have believed until I seen all of this, you know, with my own eyes, just how evil some of these people can be. But the only hope for our planet and the only hope for the human race is, you know, for us to stand up for ourselves, because the people are the power in any country.
Yeah.
You know, the governments aren't the power. They're only the power because we let them. But
that's
if we
right.
stand up, you know, then we take over. And, you know, we just need honest people in there representing us. And like I said, we need to take the money and power away from the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. I'm not saying to imprison these people. I'm saying what I'm saying is these are sick individuals.
Yes.
They're sick in the mind.
Yes.
And I think what we should do is take them into a common law court and make them admit their guilt, because it's more than obvious what they've done. I mean, all that money and power that they have, that all came from crimes that they committed against us.
Yes.
I mean, if I rob a bank, I don't get to keep the money, do I, if I get caught? You know, so why are we allowing them to keep the money? And as long as they have that money in power, they're always going to be in charge.
Yeah.
So what I say is, you know, take the money and power away from them, leave them enough money to live out their lives, but put all that wealth and into the hands of people, like respected people. I honestly think this is the time for a world government. But I'm not talking about New World Order.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, representatives, honest representatives from every region on our planet, sitting on a council and taking all of that wealth and dispensing it worldwide. Help everyone on the planet.
Yes.
We can make this world a better place for everyone, but we have to get rid of the corruption. So
yes.
As far as I'm concerned, everything to do with, you know, governments or anything, everything should be done with an open book policy to the public. No more backroom meetings, no more of all this conniving. You know, I mean, that's what happened in my own country. I mean, I became so disillusioned with Canada, because I used to be proud to call myself a Canadian. But after I seen that it was simply being run by a pack of criminals, I've been living in Europe now for quite a few years, but I don't even like to visit Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we don't take the power away from those who are corrupt, and that's pretty much everyone in office, they're
yeah.
going to kill us. We don't.
Well,
it's a matter of survival. They're killing us with chemtrails and fluoride and poison and radiation and 100,001 paper cuts, and most of them are very invasive, including the things in the medical profession, which include chemotherapy and radiation therapy. All of these things are designed to destroy the human immune system, including vaccinations.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, all of North America and Canada, it's the same as the U.S. Like, look at the meat they have there.
Ugh.
You know, growth hormones, antibiotics. You can't
Ugh.
Even sell American beef here in Europe, because Europeans don't look at it as being, well, they look at it as being contaminated. Because
yes.
in truth, that's what it really is.
Yep.
But people in America and Canada, you sit there and they have their big steaks, if they can afford to buy them, because most people don't have a job now.
Right.
But, you know, but they eat this contaminated meat, and our governments are supposed to be there to protect us, for God's sakes.
Well, it's just the opposite.
And the same thing with the FDA, you know, the Food and Drug. Oh, boy. Oh, I mean, what an outfit that is. That's just a revolving door. I mean, they're working with the governments and the drug companies.
Well,
yeah. And, you know, they're letting all of these horrible substances on the market that are really not safe for human consumption at all, and they know it.
And the people who have been on the boards of Monsanto and these other corporations and chemical corporations are in the FDA now. They move them around like musical chairs.
Oh, yes. It's that's exactly what it is, musical chairs. You know, truly, there's some very evil people in control. And, and I look at these people that last leader they had in Canada, that Stephen Harper. I mean, what a piece of work he was. But Obama's no better.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you know, all of the top scientists in this field in the world, they're all saying the same thing. But yet, you know, the doctors, you know, they're still standing against it, you know, because these people are pill pushers and the oncologists. I mean, it's a known fact now that most oncologists, if they had cancer themselves, they wouldn't take the treatments that they give to us because they know it doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
So where do you put your trust? And this is the reason I say that, you know, if you want to heal yourself, take your life in your own hands. You know, grow some of these cannabis plants, grow the heavy indica strains, produce your extracts, and you'll find that it takes all the mystery out of medicine. You literally become your own doctor. And in most cases, I mean, when it comes to healing, this medication is just so amazing that you really don't need any other medications at all from what I've seen. And, it's like I said, you can't trust the doctors anymore to do anything right. I mean, we need doctors if we get in an accident or if we break a leg. Yes, we need somebody to put us back together.
Right.
That side of medicine is okay. But the other side, the pill pushers, the oncologists, they got to go.
Yep, I agree with you. And, you know, our own natural immune system is wise beyond any medical profession because it's a natural process of healing. I mean, do we have to try to heal a cut? No. The body automatically heals it. It knits the skin together. It forms a scab. It comes off, and you're healed. And so when we interfere with that and start popping drugs for everything, now I have another friend who has been diagnosed with MRSA, M-R-S-A, because the doctors gave him antibiotics for 20 years. And now you're seeing super virulent strains of bacteria because life will go on, and these bacteria can't be killed with antibiotics anymore. So those things are anti-life. And some people pop antibiotics, they keep them in their medical chest or their bathroom chest in case they get a sneeze and they might get sick, and they start popping antibiotics. So they're destroying the natural divine wisdom of the body, which knows how to heal things. And if you just trust it, you can actually talk to your own body and you can work with it. And, there's so much that we can learn on a holistic basis about healing, and I'm just thrilled that you're bringing this out so that it opens the door. It basically kicks the door open wide. All kinds of natural healing modalities and tinctures made from plants and, various things that are homeopathic. And there's light healing, and there's sound healing. There's hundreds of different ways to engage, but I am all for what you started, because that is addressing something that is right here, right now, and affects so many people, and we need something that's strong enough to address cancer and HIV and AIDS and all these other skin afflictions. Like you said, you healed yours, and so we need to just take our power back and do it.
Well, people have to get it through their heads that, you know, and I don't call this medication a cure-all for no good reason. I mean, you know, we've used this to treat schizophrenics very successfully. Chronic pain, multiple sclerosis, all of AIDS, all of these different diseases. You know, arthritis, even rheumatoid arthritis. We can treat it very successfully with these harmless, you know, extracts. It's just endless what they can, you know, what they can do. And I know from my own experience, when I first produced the oil in 1999, I was under the effects of the pharmaceuticals, and believe me, I was not thinking clearly. and I wound up setting myself on fire. And about three quarters of my right hand just completely melted. I mean, it was horrible. Huh. Third degree burns. I did go in to see a doctor about 4 or 5 days later. And when the doctor looked at it, my hand, he looked at me and he said, "When did you do this?" And I told him, I said, 4 or 5 days ago. And he said, "Well, my God, man," he said, "there's nothing I can do with that." He said, "You know," he said, "you have third degree burns." He didn't put nothing on my hand. He just wrapped it in gauze. Huh. And he sent me home and he told me to come back in 7 days. Well, I went home, and of course, I'm a stubborn character anyway, so I went back down and went to make the extracts again. Well, in no time, I had the whole bandage all soaked in the oil solvent mix. And the stupid part of all this is that I didn't even realize what was happening myself. But 7 days went by, and I went back to the doctor's office, and when I walked in and he looked at my hand, his eyes got as big as two saucers. You know, he said, "My God, man," he said, "7 days ago you had third degree burns. And all that's there today is pink skin. I mean, even the hair follicles grew back.
Wow.
My whole hand is just, you can't tell one from another. There's no scars whatsoever."
Wow.
So literally, these wonderful extracts regrew my hand. Now,
wow.
If you take, you look what they do to people in burn units. You know, the torture they put them through for months months and months. Skin grafts and subject to infections this nonsense.
It's
just a horror story.
Yep.
And I firmly believe that you take a child or something that had, say, bad facial burns from a house fire. I think that these extracts could literally regrow their face because I watched it do the same to my hand.
Well, that would
It's just, you know, like these extracts will even stop a toothache, for God's sakes.
Wow.
You know, we should all have a big jar of this in our homes. Then if we are, one of our children burns themselves or they get a wound or an infection of any kind, you know, these extracts will even stop the flesh-eating disease.
Wow.
And it's the only substance I've ever heard of that will.
Wow.
You know, so it's endless what the medical values, and, you know, to me it's a horror story what's going on right now, because everyone's running off in directions, all these different directions. They're all claiming that they're making my extracts, and I have nothing to do with any of these people. So if you come in contact with anybody that says they're selling the Rick Simpson oil, you know right off the bat that they're probably a fraud. You know, I've always told people that want to make these extracts, I said, you know, if you make them properly, these extracts will create their own reputation because they say they have such wonderful healing abilities. But so many of these people that are involved in this today, I mean, they used to be drug dealers.
Right.
You know, and these people are out after the big money. So
that's
what they do is they grow the plants, they sell the bud because they make more money that way, and then they take the small bud and the leaves, and then they try to create the Rick Simpson oil.
Oh, no.
Well, the Rick Simpson oil comes from the bud, the very best, you know, medicinal indica strains. That's the bud you need. But,
now,
you know, and it's just a horror story. I hate to see so many people out there being scammed, but at present that's what's taking place.
And in your book, in your books, both you have two books out, but in your most recent book, don't you describe the whole process and take people through it in a simple, easy to understand way so they can do it themselves?
Oh yes, yeah. Well, on the website, we put up the website in 2004, and back then we told everyone it's been there for years. And if you go to my website, you know, all the dosage instructions are there, all the instructions on how to make the medicine yourself. There's nothing to this. There's a wealth of information right on my website. And I know I get so many emails from people asking me these questions that have already been answered on the site.
Right.
You know, they just go there, they get the email address, and then they email me instead of sitting there and reading the information because the answers are there.
Right. You know. Well, that's the dumbing down process we're subject to. Television, you know, we don't want to think for ourselves. We've got to, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, we've become a country of helpless people who are like sheep led around by the nose, and we need to start thinking for ourselves. That's the most important thing, and get the fluoride out of your water. Stop drinking tap water.
Right.
And because, you know, turn off the television and start doing your own homework. You know, nobody's going to do it for you. You know, we're looking for easy answers, and if we don't get it right away, we just drop it like a hot potato. Oh, that's
well, so
complicated.
So many people won't listen. I mean, I had so many come to me, you know, with terminal cancers and things like, you know, stage 4. And, you know, I would tell them, you know, get on the oil, change your diet. You know, get, you know, stay away from meat and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, get your pH up. That's very important. You tell them all these different things to do, and I found that, you know, the patients would leave, and then I'd come in touch with them again maybe 2 or 3 months later. Their cancers would be gone. And, you know, I asked them, I said, did you change your diet? And there's only about one person in 50 that actually did any. The oil still healed them. But there was only about one person in 50 that actually changed their lifestyles. You know, I don't know. You know, if you're dying from cancer, I think you should be doing everything possible that's natural and harmless to help yourself. You know, I always recommend the use of B17, Laetril. You know, eat the seeds from 2 or 3 apples every day. They contain the same Laetril that the apricots do, you know, the B17. And B17 itself, I can't say that it's nearly as good as the oil as far as curing cancer goes, but I have been contacted by quite a few people who have used Laetril, and many reports, many times they stated that it had stopped the progression of the cancer.
Wow.
So, I mean, it does have purposes. And there's a region, actually, up in northern Pakistan called Hunza. And that region, there is no cancer.
And
cancer's
Hunza
unknown
land.
In that region.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, here's the rest of the world all dying from it. But they have a lot to do with apricots there. There's no cancer.
Did you read the book that Art Linkletter wrote about Hunza land?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God, you have to read it. Art Linkletter wrote a book on Hunza land, and they made an expedition there, and they talk about all of the things that you're talking about, and it's an absolutely amazing book, and you can read all about it and their diet and why they live so long. It's called Hunza land.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but it's... You know, it's like I said, it's so absurd when you look at, you know, like, I mean, we're in the middle of a cancer epidemic right now. And here's a region on our earth where cancer is unknown, you know, but these scientists can't seem to figure it out. You know, this is so ridiculous. I mean, I know some of the top experts in the world, but it offended me in the beginning because they were the ones that should have brought this out, not me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a power engineer. I don't really know anything about medicine much, or I didn't at the time. But, you know, like, I mean, they made their reports, they did their studies, they did publish them. But, you know, this was before the Internet when a lot of these studies were done. But, you know, after 1996, when the Internet really started taking hold, you know, they should have put pressure on, but nobody did. They were all just going along with the pharmaceutical industry. You know, but when I came along in 2003 and started making all this noise about it, it kind of threw a spoke or a wrench into their spokes, I think. And then when we brought out Run from the Cure in early 2008, well, that documentary now has been seen by hundreds of millions of people worldwide. And I'm very gratified to know that there's been so many, you know, like, it's like I said, there's a lot of crooks out there, but the ones who are lucky enough to acquire good extracts or made their own, you know, high quality extracts, the results they have achieved are just amazing. I mean, it's all over the Internet. Just go to YouTube, you know, punch in cannabis oil and cancer. There, you know, there's testimonial after testimonial. And it's not just cancer. It's all diseases. So, you know, our governments say that, you know, more study is needed and all this nonsense. You know,
that
cannabis
is
perfectly safe. It's never harmed anyone.
Right.
So, what, you know, what's there to study? You know, just get out of the way and let the people have this medication because it's their human right, you know, to use this.
Yeah.
You know, it boggles my mind that this nonsense is going on. And it's like you say, they've got the people so dumbed down now that they just can't seem to think for themselves anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So over where you are now, where it's safer to be, what kind of research are you doing? How have you continued your life since?
Well, I went to see in 2009, when I was at the Cannabis Cup doing a lecture on this, the police in Canada raided my property again for the fourth time, and they went in there to frame me. So I just stayed, you know, I said, no sense going back. I'd already been through the legal system. I seen the corruption.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had the patients ready to testify who had been cured with terminal cancers. They wouldn't let them on the stand. Because you're not allowed to have a medical argument. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? So I just stayed here in Europe, and I went from country to country, you know, speaking about this and, you know, everywhere I could. You know, I've been to South America, Central America, Ukraine, India. I've been I've done a lot of traveling in the last few years.
Wonderful.
But we're slowly but surely we're waking up the world, and now it's, you know, like I want to get back. See, I haven't even been able to grow, you know, any cannabis myself since 2009. So I want to get back to the research, because my aim is to perfect this medication to its highest level. And I know we can, you know, these extracts have more healing abilities than we realize. And I think they can heal people much more quickly if we just take it to a higher level. And I already know how to do that. So I'm hoping they're trying to get a project underway in India. There's so many countries now that have legalized worldwide, you know, Romania, here's, you know, Spain, Portugal. They're legalizing the medicinal use all over the world. But, you know, the governments aren't, you know, they're legalizing the medicinal use of cannabis, but they're not saying why. You know, it's the healing power of these extracts that are getting all the attention.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as I'm concerned, where this is a harmless, you know, substance, you know, people, we can, you know, allow people to heal themselves and then do a controlled study, or like I want to do, and, you know, and perfect the medicine to the highest level, and then, you know, provide people with seeds that they can put trust in.
Right,
because at
right.
present, I mean, you send to a seed company, you never know for sure what you're going to get.
You know,
it's just a nightmare out there, because I got the government standing against this, the drug dealers, because they don't want to give up that big cash flow from all the illegal cannabis they're selling.
Right.
You know, everybody is standing against this except for the sick and dying.
Right.
You know, and this is what we got to realize, that, you know, you may think you're healthy today, but our bodies are all full of toxins, heavy metals, because of our environment. And, you know, and in the end, what this does, it compromises your immune system. And that's the reason we have so much sickness today. You know, so when you have cannabis extracts, they work with your immune system, your endocannabinoid system. You know, we are literally designed to take this medicine. All life on this planet, like dogs, cats, horses, they all have the same endocannabinoid system that we have. And I love working with animals like dogs, because they heal so quickly because of the, you know, they have a much faster metabolism than humans. And you can literally almost see, like, a dog with terminal cancer. Sometimes you heal them in 2 weeks. You can almost see it happening. You know, it's just amazing. And dogs don't ask stupid questions. They just take the oil.
Right.
they don't worry. You know, so many people are afraid, I don't want to get high.
Right.
You know, you'll go take poison and radiation from the medical system, but you're afraid of getting high?
Right.
You know,
well, Rick, we've got about a minute left, and so I wanted to make sure you had time to mention your website and, you know, have any closing thoughts before we have to get off the air.
Okay, brother. Well, you know, it's like I said, if you have, you know, anyone you know, that you care about has medical problems, you know, go out and grow the cannabis they need and make the extracts for them. And you can get all the information to do that right on my website, phoenixtears.ca. And I also have the books. Two books are there, e-books for sale. And you can also get them on Amazon Kindle. And the hardcover or the paperback of my first book is also available. And now we're just coming out. We just formed a small publishing company called Simpson Rabador, and we're coming out with a Spanish translation of my first book.
Great.
So that's going to be available, and hopefully we're going into wider spread distribution, so that'll be available in Spanish-speaking countries. Or if they simply contact SimpsonRamador.com, then we can provide the book.
Wonderful. Well, Rick, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I just admire the work you're doing, and just keep going, because, you know, I just love the way that you're approaching this, and I thank you for being on the show today. And also, I hope to have you back so we can, rehash some of the subjects that we didn't get to talk about.
Oh, I'd be very happy to come back, brother. I really enjoyed the show. And, you know, it's people like you, you know, people try to make a big hero out of me, but we're all, anybody involved in this, as far as I'm concerned, they're all heroes.
That's
because
right.
Without people like you, we couldn't get this out. We couldn't get the information to the public. So I commend you, you know, on all the wonderful work you're doing, too, brother.
Well, thank you so much. We're working together.
That's right.
Well, thanks a million, Rick, and many blessings to you.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure, Lance.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.